Are you ready to?
I didn't feel that click.
Can you explain to the people before we get really rolling? Because it's been a little wild this past week to get up to this point for both of us. But can you explain to the people why I'm going to be making a lot of jokes in the coming episode?
Right. Okay. So. Yeah, I race. Everyone knows this. I race triathlons, so I crashed on day two of the race, slid into a barrier, and now I have nerve damage in my hand, specifically my right index finger, and I can't feel a damn thing.
Ooh.
On the side, it's gonna take a couple weeks, maybe a month or two. Who knows? So Dan's gonna be making fun of me because I have no sense of touch. Also, I already don't have a sense of smell, as is. I haven't had that for, like, over a decade. That doesn't help either. Now I'm, like, just a senseless man who doesn't have feelings. Damn. Now that's...
That went wild. Right. Well, thank you for the explanation.
I'm okay, by the way, for asking.
Oh, yeah, you're fine. That's what we care about, really. As your best friend, I'm glad to hear that you're okay. I'm trying to hold back.
He's trying to hold back on so many jokes right now because like it's too early in the season. But we'll get in there.
Yeah.
Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face number 40. Means you're coming towards the crappy part of your life and you're trying to figure out what exactly you're going to do. You're going to leave your wife and kids, or you're going, okay, that's too much sauce. Let's redo that.
Okay, you know what? Actually, I'd like to... The thing I hate most about that intro was that life expectancy has changed a little bit, and I think crisis is a little bit around 43,
44. No, I was about to say, I'm like, Ken is 40 and he's looking good, so I can't lie. Like, I can't hate. So, no, we're going to do that on like episode... 63.
This is Audio Face, a podcast about music news and music culture.
Okay, just gonna go in, sure. I was gonna redo the entire intro, but okay.
No. We're gonna keep going.
Oh, Lord.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sean Fingerless Suarez.
And this is, like we said, a podcast about music news and music culture. I'm glad to have Sean back. Kind of in most of his pieces, but like, it's been a little. We had a fun episode with Tammy. A lot of good feedback with that. I made my own playlist. That was really fun. Did you get to hear that episode yet?
I listened to most of it. Yeah, on the plane, and it was fun. She's always a good guest. She knows her shit. My cat is literally looking at me, judging me, because she knows how bad of an intro that was. She's like, "You call yourself a host? Kind of bullshit is this?"
From Young Mochi Industries, from Young Freeze Peach Studios. Let's start this out. This is something I saved from last week for you because we had talked about this previously. But Chris Cornell, Johnny Cash collab, where he did a song that Johnny Cash wrote, but Chris Cornell like actually recorded it. As you might be aware, music listeners, both of them are dead. And so this is a really This is a really eerie but interesting song, and I actually really loved it. Like, no disrespect.
It was good. Me too. It was kind of eerie too when you put it on. I'm like, oh god, I forgot this was a thing. But I mean, posthumous music has been released before, but it was good. Go listen to it. There's like a whole album coming out, right?
The Forever Words, I believe, is what it's called, and I believe it's coming out in April.
Yeah.
Okay. May.
In May?
Okay. No, sorry. I truthfully don't know.
No, Johnny Cash Forever Words is available April 6th. Yep.
Yes, so I was right. I need to stop second-guessing myself. The therapy episode was episode 39 of Audio Face. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Want to go into Zoo and Tommy and Paula?
Yep. Jesus Christ. So Zoo and Tommy and Paula released My Life on Sunday. It's like I know they talked about it before a couple months ago. It's cool too. I know they're gonna work. Tame Impala is gonna work with on SZA's next album. But it's, I like it. What about you?
I like it. It's really chill and relaxing. It's also like kind of repetitive, not in the usual electronic music repetitive, yeah, but kind of in just the progressive house.
Yeah, but I was about to say that it felt like progressive house for the first time in a while that I've heard it, and like not having to go to different mixes and find them. So that I liked it. It kind of like it was unexpected because when you sent that to me, I go, "There's gonna be some hypey typey shit." But not at all.
Zoo. I think I don't know about Tommy and Paula as much, and I wouldn't say hypey typey is easy, but Zoo is very much.
Yeah, I haven't listened to Zoo.
One of the most different voices in EDM.
I haven't listened to Zoo before, and
you absolutely need to.
I don't know how I haven't. So it's pretty good. I'm gonna look that up after this actually, because I only listened to it once, like on Monday or something, and I can barely remember the week. Good.
So here's the thing. We're going to talk a little bit about the next story, but I'm also going to look up some things about some recommendations for Zoo, because I'm just going to give you some live recommendations right now, because this is very important. I really like
Zoo. Yeah, Zoo.
But let's talk really quickly about how Vince Staples basically made it so we didn't have to do a podcast this week, because that was the only news story worth talking about.
All right.
Let's go chronologically.
Yeah, yeah, do you want to do it? Yeah, I want to do it because this is hilarious. So my boy Vince Staples, best rapper out there in the game, least corny man in America, Long Beach City rapping. He released a GoFundMe page of a $2 million goal. That if it reaches that $2 million, he's going to shut the fuck up forever. For $2 million,
his words.
He agrees to do the following: move to Palmdale, buy a Honda, buy a year's supply of soups for the homies locked down, and buy a puppy. Basically, if he raised that $2 million, he's retiring from rapping forever because there's too many people that are on his dick and telling him that he sucks or that he should stop. So he's like, okay, cool, then pay me and I'll stop. Then he's gonna do what the fuck he wants to do.
And they're even criticizing his style as well. They're mostly talking about fans, regular people. There's some tweets that were referenced that you can kind of track it down as well. But no, that was a good explanation. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. Hashtag GTFOMD. Get the fuck off my dick. Which
and so
he released as a song, as a single, if you want to get into that.
Yeah. Which is why it's in the singles part of the show. I thought the single went really hard.
I laughed my ass off for the first like half of it because it's just funny. This is all right. Give your take. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I like the first part of it. I just like the whole song in general, and not really separating it into parts. Actually, it's reminded me. I remember in the video he was talking about the criticism that his music sounded like robot video game beats. And this isn't that much like that.
robot video games.
I really admire his level of deadpan. I'm really like aspire to do that as well. I think I kind of brushed the surface of that with my last video. Dan for the Internet 14. How to debate Ben Shapiro. Hashtag new politics. Facebook.com/DanForTheInternet. I kind of brushed the level of deadpan with that, but Vince Staples just killed it in that video. I'll link to the GoFundMe. Actually, I'm not going to link to the GoFundMe because no one should donate to this GoFundMe.
Don't donate.
It's only raised about $2,000 of the $2 million goal in 4 days, which considering it's been seen by a lot of people is pretty good. That means everyone who's donating is a hater, including people who just kind of want attention. Someone donated $420. I'm not gonna.
Guy donated $26, and his name is Follow Me on Instagram and hit insert their name here because I'm not gonna let them.
Yeah. That's what we're doing, but you know we're better than that. However, if you're a legitimate company and you do want to sponsor, you could do that.
How long is this go for? Does this go for?
That's a good question. I really don't know. I don't. I think usually GoFundMes say when it expires, and I think GoFundMe might have like a limit of 60 days.
Because I don't see anything that says here like how long it is.
If anyone wants to start a rap beef,
like he just won the rap beef contest right now. He's like, just pay me. I'll leave.
You see, what could happen is like Migos or something could pay the $2 million.
Damn, shit.
And that's a rap beef.
They could, and then he's just like, I guess I gotta buy a Honda now.
It's rap beef.
Rap beef.
But what did you think about the song itself?
Good. I liked it. It did went hard. It did go hard.
Or went hard. That works too.
Jesus Christ. Got the hiccups for a second. Yeah, it was like, just felt like pure Vince. As unapologetic, like how he always is. Not the robot video game voice, whatever. Robot video game beats. Just rough. Also, the album cover was an expired condom, which I thought was hilarious. So,
yeah,
he just told everybody.
Cuts off right at the perfect parts, so that censors everything.
Yeah, exactly. And, I felt like it's just one of those, it's a comical song in a way, but it also goes hard of telling everybody, just leave me the hell alone. Let me do what I want to do. Like, I'm a performer, so a lot of people like what I do, and if you're a hater, then fuck off.
I saw some chart somewhere that's like LA rappers are just like really angry, but and Vince Staples is angry. Don't get me wrong, he's pissed.
Oh, he's always pissed.
But like he's just like humorous about it. He's subtle, like, and it's something I relate to. I think when you're so mad that things like aren't changing, or you're so mad that things are going wrong and like people aren't doing a lot about it, or people are
that you purposely laugh
not doing something about it, that you laugh, which is how I react to most news stories, honestly. But like that kind of mood that Vince Staples is in is what I really, really relate to.
It's
like
your perpetual mood.
Yeah, it's my constant mood. Anyways, time for plugs. Follow us at Audio Face Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Do the shit, please. That'd be awesome. We'd love it.
I'm gonna be better on that.
That's pretty much all the plugs. Also, We Made It Podcast is doing a lot of video stuff that I think you should be really excited about. So if you want to see Bam and Caesar's mugs, then you can.
We should start doing that
follow
too.
We Made It Podcast
when you come back.
You could
We should start doing that too when you come back.
Oh yeah, I'm absolutely down. We could do audio face videos. I think we can. We have the capability to record full episodes. Chill Islands are gonna be fun.
Oh man,
but
beautiful.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting to edit out. But yeah, I actually looked into doing live things, but you know, if we do live, I'm only gonna do 4K, right?
Right. Oh yeah. Come on.
If I told you how much money it costs to do live 4K broadcasting, tears would come to your eyes.
Yeah, I don't want to know. Don't tell me.
Okay. Anyway, Sean, thankfully you weren't on the podcast last week, so Rick Ross didn't die.
Damn. Jesus.
We reported a little bit last week how Rick Ross was apparently on life support. There was a little bit of confusion as to why, and it seems like there still is. But he's got released from the hospital.
Apparently Rick Ross lives. I didn't kill him. Cool. All right.
Yeah, amazing. All right, sorry. Before we get into the logic review, I'm going to get into my abrupt zoo recommendations for Sean. Let me just add this in. So, God, this is kind of hard. Okay. You should listen to the song Working For It, for sure. And you listen to Working For It, the Feel It Still Z remix.
Okay.
And In the Morning and Hometown Girl. Actually, no, just Hometown Girl. So those three, Hometown Girl, the Feel It Still Z remix, and Working For It.
Okay, cool. I will definitely put that in my Spotify list of shit to listen to.
Hometown Girl, Feel It Still, and
There's to listen to.
God damn it, what was the third one I listened to? Oh yeah, I'm Working For It. Okay, let's talk about Logic's new mixtape, Bobby Tarantino 2. Mixtape album thing. I hate how these are all described, really.
Yeah.
But,
whatever, album, mixtape, whatever the hell. Vain, yeah, you put but, music on.
Let's talk about the specs, okay? 13 songs, 43 minutes.
Yeah.
It's,
Not that long, especially for, like, trap-ish shit.
Yeah.
Considering, I mean, now I'm on the Migos standard.
The Migos standard is an interesting way to be measuring a currency, considering a future there, story we're going to be talking
is
about.
Is there a Migos cryptocurrency?
That's another story we'll be getting to. Actually, two right after this. I haven't mentioned what we usually talk about, although if you've gotten this far in the podcast, you've seen the title, so you probably know. We're also going to be talking about Super Organism's debut album that came out last week, and then Data Rock's new album that came out this week, Face Vitality. But Logic's mixtape is 13 songs, and do you want me to go first? Do you want you to go first?
I've had it, Haas.
Yeah.
I usually go first in these, so.
Yeah, okay. So the first thing that was really off-putting is just the fact that this is just a trap album in general. And I wasn't expecting much. And then I see right before the album comes out, there's like this really poorly animated Rick and Morty sequence that actually turns out to be the intro song, Grandpa Spaceship.
Yep.
And it's just this long, drawn out diatribe about Logic done by Justin Roiland, the voice of Rick and Morty, for some reason, because Rick and Morty has just hit peak douche. We're like, that's just part of the brand now. And so, like, I got bad vibes from that. And just the usual, it has the Pulp Fiction kind of look, which I do like. So there's points for that. But, you know, it's really iffy. And then we get to Overnight. And then I start to go, at the end of the song Overnight, as listening to the album, I was like, I really hate that I like this. And then I started listening to a couple more songs. I think I hit Boom Trap Protocol, and I realized that he is a little bit goofy. He's got a little bit of a different twist on trap, definitely more of a different twist than I even said Migos' album did. If Migos' album's like a slight tweak on trap, and it really isn't, other than a tweak to the fact that the number of songs on the album is now times four, it's a tweak as far as the music actually goes. The drums are, I like that whole like synthesized muffled drum beat thing, but it's not just pure trap. It's taking elements from other things in the song. And like, especially talking about Boom Trap Protocol, but that's throughout the album as well. And then there's Every Day, the Marshmello collaboration that that's Marshmello's an EDM artist and he collaborates with everyone under the sun. He's almost like Major Lazer as far as the cul-de-sac theory of Audioface, where, since I haven't explained in a while, the cul-de-sac theory where everyone, you have an EDM artist or some artist in general who appears on every single other person's album to try to get their name out there, and it's like a starfuck, essentially, but it's a redistributed starfuck, whereas
Socialist
DJ starfuck? Khaled has a starfuck on one, you just totally threw me off. As DJ Khaled has all of his Starfuck songs on one album, like a cul-de-sac artist like Major Lazer will just do a bunch of songs with a bunch of different artists and they'll be wild and redistributed. It's not actually that bad either. There's a song on this album with Marshmello, Big Sean, 2 Chainz, Young Sinatra, and Wiz Khalifa. Artists who I don't immediately go to, but the songs kind of work and they don't overpower themselves. But
yeah.
Sean, what do you think?
Yeah,
especially considering you don't like trap
much. Rarely. So yeah, the first thing was this. Yeah, Grandpa Spaceship. I go, oh god, okay, it's gonna be one of those. It wasn't half bad. I'll give him that. I came in not expecting much as well, and there was a couple decent songs. I still don't like trap really. I have to really, really be in a mood for in order for me to enjoy it. And for a trap album, it wasn't half bad. Luckily, it wasn't like a giant starfuck like most trap albums where every single song has featured, but there was, what, five on this one? Yeah, Wiz Khalifa, Young Sinatra, 2 Chainz, Big Sean, and Marshmello. Fucking Marshmello. And, yeah, it was okay. Not, like, nothing special, nothing spectacular. It's just trap. At the end of the day, it starts to blend in together. He really didn't change anything in the genre. He didn't really push the boundaries. Just made it kind of bog standard trap album with it. So thank you for making it short as well, so that way I didn't have to sit for 2 hours pulling my hair out listening to the same song over and over and over again. So nothing crazy. It's okay.
I'm surprised you didn't, or maybe you didn't pay attention to the lyrics, but even in Boom Track Protocol, he actually raps about how he's not like other trap artists and how he doesn't need like lean and shit, but he still like stacks money.
Yeah, no, I was about to say that. It was, yeah, that was hilarious because I go, well, you're still making a trap album, so okay. Like
that's like minus a couple Wilk credits.
Yeah, it's like minus 0.5 because he's trying to be Wilk, but he didn't hit the mark. See, now if he was like did a trap album or something that was all based on geopolitical issues, I'd be down. If he made a Vince Staples-esque, like a Big Fish Theory of trap, that would go hard. But nobody's that cool. All they want to do is rap about money and all this bullshit. And he even, granted, I'll give him that. He's like, look, I'm not an other artist, but I still stack paper. I'm like, well, you're fucking stupid. Do something about it. Donate your paper.
Well, I have a different, I'm taking this as a music critical sense. I'm not looking at the other aspects of it too, but yeah, I get that point to where there's, God, there's Vince Staples and then there's going to most other rappers, but I'm not trying to dick ride or anything. Let's get real.
Dick ride and Obama.
Vince Staples. But I honestly saw a lot that was different with this, and this is just a mixtape too, and so Logic's more on my radar now. He's still, so, yeah, he's not the most different, but
so what the hell is the difference between a mixtape and an album? It's the same fucking thing, right?
I really don't know, and I'm not reading too much into the difference, really, but
and granted, me saying it's not bad is a miracle for trap.
Well, so here's what I have a question for you. Is this, like, on a scale of trap albums you've heard fairly recently, is this better or worse?
A little
because
bit.
Because I know you don't like the
it's a little bit better. It's not, it didn't feel as corny as most trap albums do. Makes any sense. It's that first, right. The Grandpa Spaceship, if it was corny shit. Then Overnight came out.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that was horrible.
And that was terrible. If he didn't put that in, I think I'd actually kind of like this album. But he put that in, I'm like, oh, God, that's terrible. And Overnight, if Overnight wasn't the second song of this album, I think I would have turned it off. Like, honestly. Overnight goes hard. And I go, okay, this is all right. And then the rest was kind of just bog standard. But concerning all the other albums I heard, this one, I'll probably rate above most of them. I still Without Warning. It's probably my favorite trap album. Even though it's not that good, but there's a couple. Mainly because there's like 3 songs in that album that I do genuinely like.
Without Warning is a mixtape.
Technically, whatever you want to call it. Place. Hashtag place you put music in. I don't know what you want to call them anymore.
On this week's rating system, the finger rating system, do you rate this? Out of the, how many fingers on your hand can you feel with?
Jesus Christ. So that's a solid 4 out of 5. Well, 4 fingers, so.
All right, now keep in mind, this might bring up some confusion in the arbitrary scale system, because last week we used 4 apples as the rating system. So keep in mind, a finger is not equal to an apple. It's a different rating scale. I'm not going to say whether it's better or real, worse.
One Sean might have nerve damage and one might not.
Okay, clearly we've struck a nerve with Sean here, so we're going to move on. What do you really...
All right, so out of 4 working fingers, I'll give it 2.75. With the hint...
Why do you...
With the hint of, some blood on top.
Why are you and Tammy insisted on slicing up things that are whole.
Because I don't want to give it a 3, because I don't like the genre, but it doesn't deserve a 2 because it wasn't as corny.
You know what? I wholly and entirely agree with your score. I'm going to give it a 2.75 as well.
Damn. I'm right on the bubble. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta hand it to you. Even with music rating, even though we have different genre like kind of things, I think we can both see the same
musicality
aspects of music, musicality as well, and come to the same score, even though like I have the genres I like, you have the genres you like,
etc. Yeah, but I mean that's I'm also a man in America, because you know I'll try it. I'll keep trying it. I'll listen to anything except country. Fuck that shit. I've tried that my whole life and I still don't like it. Sorry. I think that's the only thing I cannot really listen to without it. Just
very little for me either.
Yeah. It's extremely rare. I'll try. Hey, you give us recommendations, we will listen to it.
Yeah, tweet at us at AudioFacePod and give us some recommendations. That would be awesome. Let's see, what is next on the right. This is just a little trend. There were a lot of really dumb stories this week, and there also weren't a lot of stories this week. There aren't even a lot of stories enough to trigger a no-chill island to make it worthy. So instead, we'll actually be doing a follow-up to music recommendations.
Yep.
And so I'm not going to be adding too many more, but I finally got to listen to the ones Sean recommended me a while ago, and Sean got to listen to what I recommended him, and so we'll talk a little bit about that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Time's really busy. Right. And it's about to be really, really even more busy. And we're about to review a lot more albums later in the month. And we'll have a lot of cool conversations.
It's going to be crazy.
We should do something fun when I'm in... when we're in Guinness Industries.
Yeah, when we're in Guinness Studios, we'll do some live shit, maybe. Or do some video.
So some test video shit. It'll be fun. We'll see what we do. But anyways... This is a fun little audio face thing. Old Dirty Bastard is getting a cryptocurrency.
He's launching a new cryptocurrency called Dirty Coin. That is beautiful.
Yeah, so Old Dirty Bastard is dead. So this is not actually him launching the currency. Apparently, profits made from the currency will be used to fund the rap career of Barson Jones, who is Old Dirty Bastard's son and raps under the name Young Dirty.
Posthumous coin? Didn't know that was a thing.
Posh coin. Bitcoin is the future of money, and all the fans want a part of the future of Old Dirty Bastard. Young Dirty said in a statement, "In the past, Dad's music was ahead of its time, so it makes sense that he would be ahead of technology and money now."
Okay.
I'm gonna say,
is this on par with our hologram conversation? Like, can you get posthumous coin in somebody else's name?
So first off, this is his son.
Right.
So we made a point in that episode, I think, when we were talking about what you're talking about, where maybe family has a bit of a different say in it, but it has to be something that's like very clear and drawn out.
Right.
And so I don't think this is super clear and drawn out, because saying that his music was ahead of its time, well, any fan of any band will kind of say that like the music they like was ahead of its time. So I don't take that super, like...
Take it with a grain of salt. A pinch of salt. Whatever.
I take it with a really high grain of salt. Even more than I did with, there's another artist who's doing a hologram thing where apparently he had written about holograms.
But, like, yeah, about we did that. Kind of thing.
So I was like, okay, I'm a little more iffy on that.
Right.
Me neither. But it was like, within the past 10 episodes, so you should be really cool, listener, and listen to the past 10 episodes. And... find it for us and tweet about us at AudioFacePod and rate the podcast wherever you're listening to it on Apple or Google. But my hot take that I really wanted to give on this immediately was this is all bullshit. Cryptocurrencies are, in my maybe wrong opinion, but probably right opinion. I don't know. I just got an economics degree. I'm feeling a little bit smug and probably will continue to for the next, probably till the end of the year. But given that economics degree, I've seen things like Bitcoin exist and new commodities just come about throughout history. And I mean for like about like centuries and centuries. And this is not like a sustainable thing. And I don't see an old dirty bastard based cryptocurrency bringing a lot of value. And I only see it as like young dirty jumping onto a fad that might be a cash grab that maybe he'll get a little bit of money from, but otherwise he wouldn't do otherwise. It's the same equivalent to companies that put Bitcoin or blockchain or other buzzwords into press statements just to get their stock to go up a little bit. They'll make the marginal money they will, but they won't actually deliver a great product. Not to say that Young Dirty isn't a good rapper, but like, we wouldn't be giving him money otherwise. The fact this even made headlines most likely is because this also has to do with cryptocurrencies, which are really in the news. So it's like an elaborate way of tricking headlines.
Yeah, I mean, it's... it's weird because crypto wasn't a thing until... when did cryptocurrency start? What, 2012?
Bitcoin?
When Bitcoin
was like 2010 earlier, or later. Yeah,
I think it's 2011 is when it officially was launched, and then it didn't gain literally anything until 2013, I think, was the earliest I heard it.
And there were a number of other currencies as well that started like...
Yeah, so like it's... That's even earlier, or so it's even later than Hologram, so I don't know. I just, like, my stance is still the same. That's weird. I don't know, with cryptocurrency, it's weird. Because it's not like a hologram of somebody, but it's now you're fucking people's money.
And this is where we flip, because you're a little bit more sympathetic to cryptocurrencies than I am.
No, I find them hilarious. Granted, we both have money in them, and we know how to play the game, and we're
very,
gonna play the
very, game. Very small amounts of money. Let's be clear.
Yeah, let's just be honest, because I don't want to. I ain't gambling that much, unless my phone hits that beaker of. When Bitcoin goes down,
the Bitcoin shit show, as we call it.
Yeah, because then if it goes down to a certain number,
don't say the number.
No, that's what I say. There's a point where we jump in, because then it goes back up, and then we jump out, and we jump in to our helipad with the Dan from the internet logo.
It's called Buy Low, Sell
High. Exactly.
All right.
And you should not do the same. You should just buy.
Speaking of things you. Speaking of things you shouldn't do, you shouldn't which is a thing that Migos apparently did. Migos is just such clowns. Like, they made some other thing.
I can't say that. I'm gonna type that.
There are things you really can't. Oh, there's another thing I read the other day. But I'll bring that in a little bit. But Migos is being sued by the Albany Armory, which is a venue that, because they caused a riot that led to permanent damage and a loss of sales because they had to cancel concerts.
Oh, shit.
They had to do all the venue repairs. There were attacks and assaults on the premises. Defendants were seen laughing and egging the crowd on as metal gates were ripped from the ground and thrown into the crowd. You know, it's that conversation we always have where, what is the line between your characters and your persona and how wild you are in your music versus what you do in like real life and what you have ramifications? Because we don't talk about this that much, but the venues are part of the ecosystem. And, you know, we all have our opinions about certain venues and maybe certain experiences we've had with venues, but like, artists can't come into cities and put on events themselves. It's just, they're an important part, and so artists have to respect the venues as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's so disrespectful to the venue that is, you know, letting you perform. Like, don't do shit that destroys their stage, like their venue, and they have the paperwork. They're everything, like
their property, their venue.
Yeah, exactly. That's their shit. So pay up your fucking taxes. Also, look at what I said in the notes, and you're gonna laugh.
I will. Also, look at another article I linked to. Another instance, and there's a review of Migos Live, which I'm not gonna get too much into the like actual aspects of the review, because they're like, you like trap, you don't.
Yeah, and we haven't seen them live either, so that doesn't, we don't have too much of a
say. Yeah, I'm actually going to be seeing Chance the Rapper live in September.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And Ray Schremmerd's going to be opening for them, for him.
Hmm.
Which is going to be, I've seen Ray Schremmerd live before. Ray Schremmerd got me into Trap, seeing them live. To be honest, like, they sold me. And so I really can't wait to see that live. But nevertheless, this link that I just put in is about Migos performing in New Orleans. And apparently they came, like, really late. And left after performing for 30 minutes.
Also, they... like, Lil Uzi Vert canceled his show there too, I think.
Really?
Yeah, thought I.
That's weird. That's... that may be more of an investigative thing. Maybe there's something relating to the venue, or the people putting on. Because it was a festival too. Did Uzi Vert leave that festival?
He was like. It says that he was in Philadelphia and just like never went to that festival.
Okay, well, this is New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly. No, he was in Philadelphia and he was supposed to go to New Orleans and he just never did.
Oh. That is... yeah. So I wonder what's going on with Buku Fest, because that's a bunch of interesting things.
I forgot the Penguins are playing. God damn it, Dan.
Sad day.
I can't even flip through the channels because my fingers don't work.
You made your own joke. I need to write that down. Okay, so another fun part about the beginning of this podcast was that I was going to use one of my other like old phones to get the like dings down, and then my phone just started boot looping, which is when your phone turns on and then turns off, and so I had to use my old
phone
just
rip
to
phone.
Do the phone call. So that I could do this part of the podcast with Sean. And, you know, we'll get back to that. We'll see if I have a phone over the next couple of days. updates. Anyways, I'm going to read the thing you were talking about, but I do want to get into the fact that the main reason I brought up that article was that at 10:22, they were told that Migos was on their way. And then 20 minutes later at 10:44, they were told that Migos arrived. And then he queued up a couple tracks. So let's say you're about 10:50 when it's supposed to come on at 10-ish.
Yeah,
they're supposed to come on at 10. And then they finally come on, and then they play for 30 minutes, and then leave. So they probably played for the last part of their set and left. So I don't think these are... this is related to Buku Festival, although it looks to be a shit show in general. I don't think this is related to the management, because Lil Uzi Vert wasn't there. Migos wasn't there. SZA apparently sprained her ankle there. Like, it was a mess. A lot happened at Buku Festival.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looked like when I was scrolling through some shit and I saw that. I'm like, wait, what the hell? And then I saw that you put the Buku Festival, so I don't know, maybe Buku's some voodoo shit, so
Before we get a little bit too saucy there, let's go to
super.
This is something that we could have reviewed last week. I think I was on my radar, but because Tammy was on, I wanted her to bring something to the show so that's a different kind of perspective.
Yeah.
And so we got to talk about the Age of Lunar. But this is Super Organism, and this is their debut album.
It's...
if I can just pull this up so I can talk about it a little bit.
It's 10 songs, 33 minutes long. Jesus. Surprise, it was really short.
The latest trap noise is gonna be burp. Watch.
Oh, no. Remove that from the podcast. Don't give anybody ideas, because next thing I'll need to hear is skirt burp.
We have a couple powerful listeners.
Oh, no. Anyway, so Super Organism. I almost said Super Orgasm.
It's really easy to do.
It's very easy. I mean, it's good shit. Never mind. We're gonna get off that real fast.
Let's talk about the album.
It was good. It's this type of electronic. I want to say trance, but I don't know. Like, I can't think of the words to like rightly describe it. But kind of a modern, more like a 2018 version of electronic alternative. That makes sense. If that's a good way to put it.
It's like, I describe it as like definitely trancey and airy. It has a lot of those like scents that remind you of like, kind of like the noises Mario makes when he jumps, like that, like those things. Like, that's really truthfully the most I can describe the sounds of a lot of Super Organism. Like, it's just those little distortions and those little, like, not the normal bleeps and bloots you get in electronic music.
No, but, yeah,
like,
not the normal
really
dub warps.
Playing with the...
Yeah, but the high-pitched, good, like, trancey...
Sean.
Good shit.
I have a really hard test for you. What's that little knob you have on some keyboards that changes the pitch? That's just the pitch knob, right? Because just, that's what I
Oh my god, I have that on my old keyboard. Pitch wave or pitch control or something like that. Yeah, where you literally hold it and it you go whoa, 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 and you can change the
pitch. Yeah, precisely. You hold a note down and you can just like shake this little knob on the keyboard and it makes these little noises. That's kind of what Super Organism's sound is, but with synthesizers and electronic music.
Yeah,
and they do it in an alternative way with different drum beats as well.
Yeah, with it's not too. It's very, very well produced. It's not corny with the pew pew sounds, as we should say. It's not like a sixth grader done project. No, it's very, very like cut well, and it's hard to explain. But it's not corny with the sounds. It's really good electronic work. That's how it's experimenting with different sounds and saying, okay, can we make this sound and put it into some trance beat and would it sound good? Yeah, it does. I really liked it. It's different, and those are my favorite things when somebody tries something a little different. Of course, that's what we always yell about. And it's good to hear something in electronic stuff, but couple of the songs were kind of normal type of electronic, but nothing too corny, and then other stuff were really good.
And by electronic, I think it's important to say
it's not like EDM. Yeah, it's not EDM at all. I'm saying electronic.
It's not even electronic like house. It's not even.
No,
I wouldn't
no.
even categorize that. I'd categorize it as alternative with like an electronic bass.
That's why I said it's like
so like synthesizers.
Mm-hmm. That's why when I
there's no
just
guitars,
to describe
bass,
it,
drums in this.
It's like it's electronic alternative, which there's not many bands that do that. Like MGMT has a couple songs that are like that, but they're more traditional ways.
I propose synth alternative as
alternative?
The subgenre. Synth alternative.
I think that's an actual subgenre, so that makes sense. Yeah, synth alternative.
There's synth pop.
Synth pop, yeah, but they're definitely not synth pop.
Yeah, that's what. If I could jump in a little bit. So, no worries. Synth pop is definitely not synth pop. Synth alternative, I just Googled it, so you know that's how you know it's true or not true. And nothing immediately came up, so that's how you know it's true or not true. But I'm just going to run with the fact that we created synth alternative because we're awesome. Secondly, I also love that this album has a beginning and an end that are coherent.
Yes.
And, like, it has a story, and I said a couple episodes ago, again, I don't know which one, but one of the ones this year. So listen to all of them and rate them all and figure it out. But I love and I'm going to appreciate more when albums feel complete, like they tell a story. It like begins with this daytime vibe. It ends with literally a song called Nighttime. I describe the album as a zany kind of story that has emotion and passion and feeling, but with edge and like a little bit of a jokiness to it.
Yeah.
I think female vocals mostly, which is also really kind of nice and refreshing. I feel like it's kind of a younger, a little bit, not experimental, but definitely trancey. I get what you're talking about with trance, version of Little Dragon, if that makes sense.
Mm.
And by version of Little Dragon, I almost even regret saying that because they're similar, but absolutely not a copy. Super Organism is its own thing. I think that's really
We're trying to give people an understanding of what they're listening to before. So yeah. Because some people are extremely picky in what they listen to. So, but I'm recommending, hey, give it a listen. It's good. I like it a lot. I don't know if it feels the same way.
Yeah, I do as well.
All right. Well, we want to do the arbitrary
Fingers?
Fingers, yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna give this a 3.5. So, like, honestly, the bone is sticking out.
So, like, how my hand is, I have 3.5 fingers currently.
Yeah, but I'm not talking. I like your gruesome version of this.
Okay, yeah, because you want
to still kind of have your hand.
Right.
Yeah, that there will be blood. Let's just say there will be blood.
Oh shit! That's such a good film. God damn it! One of the best films ever made.
Also, it's worth noting that Johnny Greenwood's soundtrack thing came out this week, but we're not going to be reviewing it because we're going to talk about with the film that comes out in April.
Yeah, because I'm watching that one for sure.
Yeah, it seems like we're doing about one movie or like movie review a week, which is pretty cool. It's a little thing we're branching out with. We'll see what we're doing with
it. Yeah.
I like the Phantom Thread and Black Panther reviews that we've done.
Mm-hmm. Now we'll do, what is it? You Were Never Really Here, I believe is what that's titled.
Yeah.
Like, I believe so. Anyways, so I was going to give it like a 3.25. So like, a little bit more bone and some skin showing too, and some like blood dripping down on my hand. Yeah, it's a good album.
Oh, elaborate the 2 point, but the 0.25.
Elaborate the 0.25. Well, so that's what I was gonna give it, and I don't know. I just that's what I want to give it.
And that's just what you're feeling. That's
yeah,
you're feeling?
I think 3.5 is a little too high for me. It's good. That's it.
I really recommend, like, I'm trying to look at this album and think if there's any one song that I could say, like, is really good. I think Super Organism with all the vowels taken out and it's spelled in capital letters is really good. Nobody Cares has a fun vibe and Reflections on the Screen I really like. I also like the Prawn song, but really I encourage you, it's only 33 minutes long. Just dip into this album and take it in as a complete piece.
Yeah.
And then you'll see why that's so important to have an album that's a complete work. Because I think this is a prime example of, especially in 2018, of new music that is an art piece.
Yeah, it's one of the few where an album is an actual album.
Yeah.
Where it's really...
Not too much filler.
Yeah, it's really
not any filler, really.
To go back and forth. I think that's also why it was so short, because I think they wanted to have every single song gel together, and it did, and it was gorgeous.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see what they come up with next. I could definitely use some more concept albums. I'd actually like to see if they did maybe 12 songs on an album, maybe some collaborations, maybe if they went a little bit branched out further and went on their sound further. It was a lot of like zany sounds, it was a lot of like bumping trance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they continue with that. Maybe they do something a little bit different. But I'd be fine if they actually continued with it, because it is still very fresh. Do you want to move on to my victory?
Yes. Let's see it.
So I've done a public service in that I have destroyed NME. So NME, New Musical Express, is one of UK's best-known magazines, musical publications. It debuted in 1952, apparently. And they are no longer going to be doing their print edition. I don't know when they're doing it, but really soon they're ending it.
That's interesting. You killed NME.
They're going to
the NME.
the NME. Yes, everyone knows about the NME. But there's what am I trying to say here? Is that they're still going to be doing their online stuff, fortunately/unfortunately. And I did my whole, like, Dan hates NME thing on past No Chill Island, something that may have gotten the network almost pulled down and was so explosive that NME decided to stop selling magazines. No, really. Print magazine is just...
It's just gone. Not... It's just who...
Yeah.
Who uses magazines unless they're taking a shit.
Yeah. The current issue that's out right now is the last one. Yeah, no one uses magazines unless you're at a doctor's appointment. And even the market for that's taken out because no one has insurance.
Damn it! I was going to say that. I'm like, who goes to the doctor anymore? Nobody can afford that in this country.
Right? That's why it's always really handy to have some first aid kit nearby.
I mean...
Gotcha.
But, I mean, Dan is still wrong Tor, and Sean still can't feel Tor, so... I guess we can dig at each other. Alright, Datarock.
It's a good thing you did.
Oh.
Yeah, no, let's go ahead. You know what? I'm gonna hold.
Datarock.
All hands on deck. Let's keep going.
Face of Brutality. Datarock. 10 songs, 39 minutes. Thank you again for making it short.
We're having such an impact on music.
What?
Sorry? We're having such an impact on music.
We are. I mean, I think people are starting to listen to Audio Face podcast. Maybe we're going to overtake GRE and be like, we're better. We're going to have some guests on.
I mean, we have the stats. We're almost there.
Right. I've maybe heard Datarock once before or something. I haven't really heard of them that much.
iTunes commercial.
There's like
that's what I heard of them.
Too many. Oh, that's where you heard of them. I think I might have just heard them like in a playlist or something a while ago, and so I didn't know exactly what to expect in it, but it was cool. The first song BMX has an 80s theme. Like, okay, hold on, genre, because I'm really shitty classifying genres. Because you know we gotta put everything into a box.
You know, I'd call this like techno pop.
Techno pop, synth techno pop.
Yeah.
Because I gotta make it weird. Yeah, because the first song is.
Keep it weird.
BMX sounds super 80s, like New Order, like Prime New Order, Blue Monday feel to it. And then the rest of the album was kind of similar, but then they put a modern edge to it. And more techno stuff in it, and it's good. I like it. I didn't think it's what it was going to be when I listened to it. And I go, whoa, it kind of caught me off guard. Also, the album cover is kind of cool. Like, that's just keen a surface.
Right.
I feel them because I've seen people in key cars. And it's rough out there in the streets. It kind of felt a little long towards the end, actually. Like, the last 7, 8, 9, 10, they were okay. But the 1 through 7 were really good for the album. I don't know if you felt the same way at all, but that's how I did when I listened to it. Granted, I only listened to this one once, and I want to listen to it again and kind of get a bigger listen in and really get this album going. So I think it's something that I will enjoy if I listen to it more than once. It's one of those albums where I think a couple listens will do it justice, if that makes sense.
I get you. Right, how I felt about the album. So yeah, I heard about Datarock because they had a song in an iTunes commercial, iPod commercial, like legit 10 years ago, for a song they did called Fa Fa Fa. And it was really catchy, but it was like 2006, like pop techno of that time. You know, nothing special, but a catchy tune. And so I remember that, and I kind of like that song. And hadn't really heard much about it or them since. But I saw this coming on the album listing, and this is really like a calm before the storm week. And so I was like, okay, we're not doing much else this week. There's a lot going on next week. We might as well get that out of the way. Next week, there's gonna be Bishop Nehru, Yola Tango, Thundercat, and if we have time, Pendulum. I'm feeling like next week might be a big news week as well. So I'm saying maybe Pendulum. But there's a lot coming out later this month as well, so I was like, okay, Datarock, let's give it a chance. We've done a lot of albums where, like, let's give them a chance and see what's going on. But going into the album and actually listening to it, my takeaway is that it's really, really, really repetitive in a way that it's not electronic enough to go, oh, well, it's electronic. So it's really repetitive. It's just, they found a way to make alternative techno pop. Like, that's why I kind of describe it as techno, because it's really
super repetitive.
It's true not to describe it as techno, because there's definitely like drums and there's a lot of finger picking in there too. And there's literally, they discovered one little finger picking riff a while ago in one of their early albums, like 10 or 11 years ago. And they've been doing the same thing, like, ever since. Even still, like, I'm going to show you this song after we're done on the podcast, but the song Sense of Reason on the album, the third song on the album, is, I hope to God, and I really think it is, I think it's an homage to Fa Fa Fa, because it sounds so much like a B-side that it's just ridiculous. And Sense of Reason is, I think, one of the lyrics in Fa Fa Fa. I didn't really have it looked up in a while, but I'm pretty sure if I remember it right, it is. And, you know, it's fine to do an homage to your old songs. That's cool, I guess. If you're Data Rock, you're not like one of the biggest groups around, so I don't know if you want to do that. But, you know, you do you. But seeing those two songs sound similar, right? Go, okay, you're allowed to do an homage of your own songs. But knowing that those two songs sounded similar and that the rest of the album sounded like a slight variation of that song and that there wasn't a lot of range within the album was really disappointing to me. And so this kind of came out being really repetitive, even though there were some good songs. I think Feathers and Wax and Beautiful Monster, so that sixth and seventh part especially was really good. Definitely the rest is I could have done without. Laugh in the Face of Darkness is actually a song that I think was the high point of the album. But like I said, so much about Sense of Reason, which is an homage to a song I really enjoy, is actually, I think, the weakest part of the album because it reminds you that they haven't changed in 12, 13 years.
Right. See, I never really listened to them before, as I said earlier, so I didn't realize that they kind of have like a certain sound. And I can understand that being techno, you're kind of limited almost unless you're amazing at what you do, with how many sounds you can make. That's why I felt like the album got really long towards the end. The last, yeah, like, what I said, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 8, 9, 10. No, I said 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, though it started like really repetitive, especially the one that was 6.5 minutes long. I'm like, okay, this is getting a bit much. I still like it generally because I do like techno, but for the average person, who, if they don't like it, I could see why they could kind of get deterred away from it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, I feel the same way, because I remember in Data Rock, the album that Fa 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 was on,
mm-hmm,
I liked two songs from it. I like Fa 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 and I like Sex Me Up. I think those are two really fun, poppy songs that had some variation.
Right.
And this is, like, the same way. There are two songs on it that I like, but everything else is just, like, kind of boring. And it sounds like one of those bands where someone was able to squeeze two hits out of them because like that's how they paid some of the bills, but the rest is just missing purpose, missing like a track, I guess. And so yeah, I didn't really like it, but like it was fine. I'll listen to it and I might listen to it again while I'm studying or editing, but it's really, I've already almost forgotten about most of it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that special. Again, you're kind of limited with what you can do. So, okay, Arbitrary. Let's do this.
I give it a 1.75.
Holy hell. Woo!
In that it's, I can't give it like a, okay, so if we're doing 2 out of 4, I don't do it in like the American grading system as in like a 50% as an F.
Mm-hmm.
I do a 50% as like a average, right?
Right.
That's like 50%. You're halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this album is even halfway there. I think it's close, but I think it's just below halfway there.
Okay.
And that sucks, but like doing two songs that are kind of okay, one of those songs being an homage to your last song that was only good enough because it was like in an iPod commercial, like that doesn't do it for me. And actually, I like kind of like say it right now, maybe 1.75 is kind of generous, but I'm going to leave it there. What do you think?
I was going to give it a 2 because I have a soft spot for it. But at the same time, if I get tired of an album, that's not good.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's okay.
I think the biggest issue I had in closing with the Data Rock album was that it really just lacked feeling.
Hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was trying to ignore it, but you know. But, I mean, you know who else is not gonna have. Oh, Dan, I was about to say something really wild. Oh, Jesus.
Woo! We're We're gonna save that because A, I read your comment, and don't you love how professional I'm getting at that? I really didn't even stumble. I just kind of moved on. But yeah, that's hilarious.
Okay.
Kind of true, but I'm beginning to be able to tell the difference. I'll put it like that.
I can kind of get the difference, but there's two of them. I'm like, if you change size, I don't know who you are.
Listen, there's a lot of injustice in the world, and the last there's a new slogan for AudioFace that I'm going to start rolling out soon. But the first one, and the beginning one, was the world is horrible, but at least the music is nice. And there are a lot of horrible things happen in the world this week. I'm not going to go through them all. But there's one little bit of justice, and it's that Martin Shkreli is going to jail.
He's going to get booty.
Wow. Can't put that in.
Yeah.
Thanks for making me edit that.
I was going to say something a lot worse than that earlier, so you're welcome for making it just that.
Wow. Thank you for the goddamn common courtesy, Sean.
It was going to be like a whole like 30-second bleep, so instead of that, I just put a little 5 seconds.
Well, thank you. So, CNBC... So, he's on 3 convictions of security fraud, so he's giving up $7.3 million in assets.
Damn!
And including... The reason why we're talking about this specifically is because there is a Once Upon a Time in Shaolin Wu-Tang Clan album. There's only one copy of its kind, and Shkreli purchased it for $2 million.
Gotta sell that.
Yeah, so that's 2 million of the 7.3 million. And if you're not totally aware, Martin Shkreli, he was a pharmaceutical CEO because he price gouged a drug used by AIDS and cancer patients, raising the price of a single pill from $13.50 to $750.
Yep.
But you know,
granted, that's not illegal, but that's just a bitch move.
Okay, you know what? That's his right, because he is the CEO of this drug that's really important and does a lot of really good things, and so I think he should be compensated.
In jail.
And so, I think $13.50 to $750 is a fair compensation. I also... no politics, but Dan from the Internet 15 is going to be amazing. It's going to be great. Yeah. There's a little bit of justice in the world, I guess.
Apparently, allegedly. So, a little while back, we did music recommendations. I think this was what, beginning of January, maybe, that we did this?
January-ish. Like,
yeah, because this was kind of releases were starting to come out, but nothing was rolling. Now we're rolling in 2018. It's already March. What the hell's gone with the year? This shit's gone by way too fast.
By the way, it was episode 32, which we did late January, January 20th-ish.
Mm-hmm. And, anyways, we did some recommendations. I listened to Dan's a long time ago, and so I kind of remember them. Except Bishop Nuru, I've been listening to a bit, and,
We both recommended Car Seat Headrest, so we're not going to talk much about that.
No, and we did that
I think
album,
we've even
anyways.
Reviewed an album from them.
So I recommended to Dan, Dive, D-I-V, James Rhodes, a pianist, and Junior Boys. Dan did, Alt-A, Odyssey.
Alta.
Oh, Alta. Why did I say Alt-A? Wow, I'm an idiot. And Bishop Nuru. Slap, slap, slap. Clap, clap, clap. And then we already did Carsey Everest. So, I listened to all...
Sean, you recommended James Rhodes and Junior Boys as well, too. Right?
Yeah, I said that.
I don't know if you said James Rhodes.
Yeah. No, I did. So, I'll go first. Because...
Sure.
I'm fucking cool. I definitely like Bishop Nuru. I remember listening to him a little bit before from Nuruvian Doom, but never getting into his own shit. And then when you said, hey, look at Emperor Nuru's New Groove as an album, and that was pretty good. It was like, we did review it on here, didn't we?
I think so.
I think we did. We listen to so much music now, it's like, I can't remember what we did. But,
yeah.
Anyways, I've listened to a lot of his stuff, and then now I've actually gotten into him as a rapper, because he's just started really on the come up, and, you know, partnering with Doom and everything, and he's really good. I do thoroughly enjoy his music. Especially when he sampled fucking slap, 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 clap, clap, clap. I died. Holy shit.
Right?
I keep using that all the time now. But anyways, he's done a lot for how young he is, and I'm very, very looking forward to his full album coming out. That's this month, right? That should be...
Next week.
That's just next week, yeah. Not this month. yeah, so that was good. I could have already had an idea of how he sounded and stuff before. The other two, I had no idea, basically. From Alta, A-L-L-T-T.
Wait, hold on. I'm Bishop right. Nauru. I just want to go really quickly.
How about...
Have you been able to tell how he's grown?
Definitely, because his first couple stuff, but even on New Review and Doom, you can tell he's good. You can tell he's got potential to be really, really good. Some of his lyrics and stuff are okay. It can get a little repetitive, especially early on, and it wasn't anything too special. But you could tell a sense that he has a flow to him. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
He has like a kind of a groove that when he gets it going, it's great, but it's kind of inconsistent in his early works. Even in Emperor Nuru's New Groove, there was some stuff that lacked character in the songs, and there's other songs that were just fucking awesome. So now, even in the two singles that we've heard, they've been really good. And I go, all right, this is promising.
And I even felt that, like, even the worst songs, like, the less good songs in Emperor Nauru's New Groove were better than, like, the less good songs in his prior mixtapes. And so, that's absolutely progress.
Right, definitely.
All right, we can move on. Anyway. Sorry, that's my last thing.
Yeah, you're good. So, we're going to Alta. God damn it, Alta. And I heard them, like, a little bit before, but not really got into them or anything, is they have like a lot of, they release a lot of damn music. So that's kind of the hard thing. Yeah. When I was trying to get into them, I got a little overwhelmed. Because they release like a lot of instrumental versions of their albums, and it's kind of, it's eclectic. It's, I don't even know what genre they would be.
It's, like that, like electronic R&B almost.
Yeah,
but it's like
electronic rap,
poppy.
But they have some pop stuff, and then kind of, some of it can be trancy too. It's so that's what I mean by it's really eclectic and it's good. The problem is that there's so much. Like when I was going through it, granted, it's easier when it's just put into albums, but they have a lot of instrumental versions and stuff of their music, which is cool in its own way.
Yeah,
but anyways. Yeah, I did. I listened to Facing the Giants and thoroughly enjoyed it. It wasn't too long of an album, and all of it was cool. I didn't realize that a lot of it was that had that R&B kind of feel to it. Like, you know, like Hell Disclosure had Help Me Lose My Mind or like songs like that.
Yeah,
that's how it felt, and that's kind of their flow, and I really, really like that stuff. So Alta is great. I will recommend them to a few people if. Or on the podcast, if that's kind of your cup of tea. Really, really good shit. Presently surprised. I didn't know exactly what to expect. I thought it was going to be more EDM-y than I thought, and I did not expect it to be like that R&B electronic stuff.
Yeah.
But I know, granted, it is you, so you know exactly what I like. And yeah. Then we go...
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. I'm not going to give you something of, like, if it's an album review, then, you know, it is what it is. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. It's new, so I'll throw it your way. And actually, I didn't mention this a lot in the... I said I was going to mention this earlier, but I didn't. The reason why I gave Logic's mixtape a better review than a lot of other trap albums is because the big trap album that came out this week was... Lil Yachty's Lil Boat 2.
Nope.
And so I suggested listening to it because it came out and it's like a big trap album that everyone's listening to. And then I listened to it a little bit before because I put Sean through a lot and he can't feel any of his fingers. So I was like, I'm going to just like, I'll give him a break if I can. And I could barely get through the album.
Yeah.
And so sorry to derail this, but I need to talk about this a little bit because This is why this show is so important.
Yeah.
There's 17 songs on it. It's 45 minutes long. So the songs are really short. But imagine that. Imagining a bunch of really repetitive, really short songs. So unlike Migos, which can put out a bunch of songs that are repetitive, but at least they're long and they have some range and some lyrics get put out. And there's a little bit of like a tiny bit of lyrical talent here and there. Like Lil Yachty has no lyrical talent. It's a starfuck. They're not good rappers. He's like mumble rapper supreme. And he cut his songs really short. So he's playing the playlist game, but like nothing's on here.
Hmm.
And it's so bad. But nevertheless, like Lil Yachty has a bunch of fans and a bunch of people are gonna like this album, but it's just not really worth anyone's time. And so Logic is doing something that is far better and far more unique and like has a lot more range than that. And so because that is the gold standard for trap, that's the stuff that I shield Sean from, and that we almost had an entire podcast where we didn't even have to talk about it. And maybe Sean will like be the open-minded person he is and listen to a couple songs and then like vomit through his ears and see that like I saved him from the horrible shit. But like honestly, it was really bad. And so to try to slowly bring this back to Alta, I guess, when I give you recommendations, I'm not going to screw you over.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I'm going to give you things that I think that knowing what you've talked about through all the albums we've reviewed and things like that, I'm going to make sure that's something that I think you might like. Or if you go into it in the beginning and go, oh, this is something that I think I won't like, hang in there. Like, trust me, I think there's something in there somewhere that you'll do. Which I even thought with Logic. Like, I thought, okay, of Trap, I think you'll like this more than that. And I think that even if your review of it wasn't super good, it's... Lil Yachty would have been a No Chill Island.
Which brings me to Odyssey, which I've been bumping hard. Holy hell, he's good. Jesus. Album.
Really? Tammy loves Odyssey too.
It was hard. The album of the Iceberg. Fuck. I love that album. I had no idea who he was. honestly. And listening to it, it's really, really good. That's kind of your, what you can call hip hop R&B. Because you know how we kind of hate how that's a genre, but it's really, really hard to describe exactly what it is. This is what it is, with some electronic stuff mixed in with it, and it goes hard. Absolutely love it. The Iceberg is a fantastic album. It starts off fantastic and ends fantastic, which one of the few albums that happens. Like, the song Thanes, which is the second song on the Iceberg. Yeah. Dude, I blast that thing in my car a lot. It's just one of those pump you up songs, and it's, you can bump that with anybody in the car and it'll get you going. It's fantastic. Yeah, thank you for that. Definitely love Odyssey.
Good. Because I remember you looking at him and you're like, oh, what kind of hipster bullshit is this?
Yeah, no, exactly. Because at first I'm like, it's kind of hipstery. And then when I gave the Iceberg a try, I go, oh, whoa, this goes hard. I like it.
I think Sean's a secret hipster is mostly what we're finding out about this podcast.
Oh, yeah, I definitely am. But I'm an actual hipster, as in I don't do anything that anyone else does. There's only one Sean in this world, which is a good thing, because I don't want multiples of me, because then the world would combust. We don't need any of those. You don't need any more of me.
That'd be horrible.
That would be terrible. But, yeah, the shit went hard. All right, Siri, yours.
All right, let's just go through the order. Let's go with Die first, which... thank you for saying that first, because I would have pronounced it Div.
Yeah, it's Dive. I did a mistake too, and then I listened to them live. I'm like, oh, it's Dive. Awkward.
So I Div straight into Is The Is R, and Is The Is R is
prime hipster shit.
Go ahead.
No, I warned you. I'm like, it's gonna be prime hipster shit, but I kind of like it, Loki. Anyways, let's hear it.
No, yeah, I also really like it. It's hipster shit, and it has, I forget how you described it exactly, but it looks indie from first glance, but you listen to it and you listen to the full album, and like, it's got a little bit of I really don't know how to describe it. Like, how would you describe it? Like, help me here.
They have a very, very specific sound, but it goes well. It's that very, like, it almost feels like a beach theme to it, if that makes any sense. Like, guys are jamming in a basement in, like, I don't know, Hermosa Beach. Like, that's what it feels like. For Hermosa Beach, if anyone who doesn't know that, if it is a small beach community in South Bay, in southern Los Angeles County. Yeah, it kind of feels like that, where just a bunch of hipster guys who are actually talented musicians, but they make repetitive jams, but they're good.
That's, I think, the criticism that I have, is that it was repetitive, and it was kind of like the, I guess, like, jam band indie.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, yeah, I figured out how to listen to music while being on the phone, which is pretty cool.
I love doing that. I do that all the time on this podcast to make sure I'm, like, doing something correct.
That's great. I know. I do it all from my memory. And I'm a stoner, so be happy about that. But I really love Valentine. I think was a song that stuck out to me.
Just, like, really
got me going.
Did you listen to both albums?
Yeah, on Izzy Azar. I only listen to Izzy Azar.
Okay, you should listen to Ocean. I like Ocean more than Is the Azar.
Yeah, because I think Div is like a jam band indie thing, which sometimes I like, and sometimes it can be funny when you do the whole like indie dumb commentary thing. But it's weird. None of the songs are particularly long. Most of the songs average around like 4 minutes long, but yet they still end up being a little bit repetitive. So yeah. I like it enough to definitely listen to the other album you talked about.
Okay,
Ocean, you said?
Yeah, O-S-H-I-N. Yeah. It's that I like that album a lot.
I definitely like them enough to listen to that, and I have enough time video editing to do that. So I like what they're going for. I definitely, if I had only heard that album and not heard your other recommendation, I would come out of it going, I like what they're going for, and I like their sound. And it's definitely something I would listen to when I'm not intently listening to music, like I'm just have something in the backdrop.
Exactly.
Because of that repetitive nature. Yeah.
To me, it's like
repetitive nature.
It's a perfect band to listen to when you're driving on PCH.
For sure. Yeah. Like, if you're doing any road trip.
Yeah, road trip.
That kind of band.
It's exactly like that. Good. I'm glad you liked them. I was kind of worried there for when I was recommending them. I go, I think he's going to like it because I know he wants more kind of indie-ish bands. They're slightly repetitive, but I think he's gonna like this one a lot.
Yeah. I did. James Rhodes as well. I was snapping that as well on the Audio Face Pod Instagram,
which you
can follow for all of our shenanigans. But I was listening to that while writing, and yeah, there's classical music's fun way of being playful and funny and all over the place while like having so much range and tone, because you're not on a standard like 4-drum beat here and there. You're not like trying to get that undertone. You're not limited. You have so much more range and capacity. And those are just general things about classical music. Because what I listened to from James Rhodes was just like they were his like takes on, because I listened to Fire on All Sides.
Far and all sides.
And so
okay.
He did Bach's piece and Chopin pieces. And so I didn't listen to any of his own things. They're kind of just covers, but I still liked listening to that whimsy. And I'm going to listen to more. This is just another thing I didn't listen to a lot of. Sorry, but I listened to a lot more of Junior Boys. But before we go to Junior Boys, if there's anything more you want to say on James Rhodes.
Yeah, I mean, he's a concert pianist, so he plays all of like the composer's stuff. But the thing is he kind of picks and chooses what pieces he wants and what pieces go together. So Fire on All Sides goes along with his book. But one I would love for you to listen to is his live album in Brighton, because he goes in between pieces and talks to the audience, and he explains why he's playing these pieces specifically and what they mean to him and what's got like what went through the artists and stuff when they made them. So I think that's one that you definitely need to listen from him, is the Live in Brighton album in 2012. It's fantastic.
It, yeah.
So definitely, before you listen to any other stuff, classical-wise, listen to that, because I think you will thoroughly enjoy it. And it's great. I love, and all those pieces are some of my favorite works, especially the Rachmaninoff Prelude. That shit is dark, deep, heavy, and beautiful, which is most Rachmaninoff pieces anyways. So yeah, go do that.
Yeah, I absolutely will. Like I said, I have a lot of editing time coming up soon, so
and that's perfect.
That.
Yeah.
And speaking of editing time, Junior Boys, I was listening to that a lot while cranking out the paper, a lot of the papers I'm writing,
mm-hmm.
and wow, I'm so sorry for sleeping on them.
Dude, they're so good, yo. Oh my god.
So let me be honest. I listened to three of their albums and listened to them in reverse chronological order. So Big Black Coat was mm-hmm. pretty cool, but also kind of repetitive. And I liked it, and there are some songs here and there, but like repetitive progressive house, but like good like house. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It's All True, same, a bit less repetitive. And I liked it, but also kind of short, but also kind of felt airy, and they left more to be desired. Be Gone, Dull Care was the third one I listened to, and it is near perfection.
Yep, it's one of my favorite albums of all time. Did you listen to any of the singles?
The singles that aren't from the album? Because I just listened to the albums.
Yeah, because the Kiss Me All Night EP is one of my favorite EPs ever made. Of all time.
Okay.
I'm literally not kidding. Okay. Those four songs are near perfection. And yeah, that, holy hell, man. Be Gone, Dull Care is ridiculous. Thank you, Bam, from We Made It Podcast, for reminding me of Junior Boys and how fucking great they are. And I hope to God they release new music this year, because they definitely should. They're really good at their stuff. Please.
Now, that would be absolutely awesome if they did. I would love it. I was just trolling through their Twitter up a while ago, too. Did you hear you heard Facing Giants from Alto, right? So did you hear The Upper Hand?
Upper Hand. Let me literally look.
That was the other album they did.
This obviously they only had two albums then. But they have a lot of, like, shit. Yeah, I'd listen to it.
Yeah. There's that. And if you like them a bit, then 20 Sil, who I've talked about a couple times before on the podcast, is half of Alta. So you'll like them.
Oh, that makes sense. I was wondering what that was all about. Okay. Good. Yeah, I'm glad you liked Junior Boys. I thought you would. The shit. It's fantastic.
What was I gonna... What song did I really, really like? Sorry, I'm pulling them back up again because perfect. I had searched someone else on Spotify. But Dull to Pause was really beautiful.
Dull to Pause? Yeah, Dull to Pause.
Yeah. As well as Parallel Lines. Like, it was 8 songs, which is really bold for an album. But I think if you do 8 songs on an album, that means you picked really carefully. There's absolutely no filler. Every song there has a purpose. The songs are probably there a little bit longer. And, like...
It was.
It's beautiful. Like, it's really good. I'm going to listen to it a lot more. And I absolutely recommend people listen to that as well.
And we're definitely going to be bumping that when you're here back in SoCal.
What is... I'm going back through, like, other, like, more recommendations. Because we already... Because, from Bishop Nauru, if you want to listen to more of him, what I used to play a lot, just in my car in general, so you may have heard parts of this, was Nauruvia the Nauruvian EP. It's just Nauruvia the Nauruvian on Spotify for some reason, but I've always known it as the Nauruvian EP. And I think of his non-album works, other than Emperor's New Groove, like I draw a direct line between the Nauruvian EP and the Emperor's New Groove as far as like how it's set up, how pretty good everything is together. Particularly Somebody Waits is just a really good song. And then Split Society Syndrome is another good song as well. Because that mixtape that he did originally came out, that Split Society Syndrome was on, came out, I think, almost 7 or 8 years ago. This week.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. So that was good. And then, yeah, Junior Boys. So, I love that shit.
Dude, it's true.
Give me more of that shit.
Yeah, exactly. They go so hard. Cool. Well, thanks guys for listening to us ramble on about good music. And I hope for you of the those of you who listened to the Harry Music Recommendations podcast a few months ago, can kind of get a sense of like why we recommend music to you guys and what we think like the general humans would like, and listen to the shit we tell you to because it's good. Anyways, yeah, we'll be back. I will still be less feeling probably, and we will have a lot of albums to review next week. And you can follow us at AudioFacePod on Twitter and Instagram. And soon there will be hopefully some video clips that we do, and especially when Dan graduates from the hellhole of Free Speech Studio, and we'll be doing some
we'll be doing some more pivot content to video.
Yeah, we'll do some video for you guys so you can see our mugs and all of our mannerisms, because it's even more funny when you see us yell at each other with our hand motions.
Yeah. No, there's a lot more, really fast, if I can kind of quickly plug, we made a podcast that I talked about earlier. They're doing video stuff now, and it's a different experience to get to see people talking live. I'm glad they can do video and audio, and I think it's something I definitely want to do on audio face as well, because we're conceited assholes, and we think it'd be great if you saw us in person. Also, it's just really easy to do video, and it'll be fun. It's also really easy for me to produce. I can publish video and audio at the same time, as far as my computer editing goes, so it's really easy.
So, thank you
guys. So, yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next time. You'll hear us next time.
Next week. Bye.
Cheers. Oh, this is officially brought to you by Mochi Studios. Hold on.
Oh, hi Mochi.
Hi Moch. I just look over and I see Fluff. I'm like, oh, you're back. Hi. God, you're such a cute cat. Okay.
Would you like...
Fine.
Would you like to open the podcast? I can keep it hands off.
Fucker.